Well, good morning. Good to welcome you here, or actually, it's good for you to welcome me and my wife, Jackie. It's good for us to be with you. And you're right, the Spirit of the Lord, the presence of the Lord is in this place. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing. So it's wonderful to be invited back. And so in kind of keeping with the idea of just exploring God's Word and being enriched by what the Word of God can say to us, we want to approach that in a couple of moments. But just a couple of things that we live in a time, I mean, a couple of COVID releases and things are getting a little easier and the masks aren't mandated, but still encouraged and needed in places. And so things are in the middle of change. And so a couple of things I ran across that I was reminded and I thought was good to pass on. Worry is a conversation you have with yourself about things you cannot change. Prayer is a conversation you have with God about things that He can change. And that's, I once ran into a definition of the idea of trust or anxiety or worry, and it's facing a situation as if God were not present. And it's solely on you to carry the results. And what a great thing it is to realize it's not up to me if I can relax and let Him have it. So anyway, that was a good thing. Lord, I put my family and my world in your hands today. I can't control everything that happens, but I can remember to cover it in prayer. And that's enough assignment for each day rather than trying to control everything. Then a little bit on the lighter side, I've always believed that one of the Lord's gifts in my life is to be able to nap. You know, to just kind of fall asleep anytime, anywhere. Well, not quite anytime, but most times. I ran across this this week. Daniel slept in the lion's den. Peter slept in prison. Jesus slept in a storm on a boat. So no matter your circumstance, you should be able to take a nap. It happens for me quite often, and it's a wonderful blessing. Well, as we come to the Word of God, and as we come to kind of allow the Word to begin or continue to speak into our minds and our hearts, what's it take or what does it mean to be a healthy follower of Jesus? Not just someone who grudgingly just kind of follows along behind the rest of the crew, but what's it mean to kind of stand up front and say, I'm healthy enough to walk through this situation with the Lord's help? I was reminded some time ago now that there are some significant issues that keep us from being healthy. One is distractions in life, things that come along that kind of take us this way and meander us along. It can be the thought of needing to purchase a new car. It can be the purchase of property. It can be health issues. Anyway, distraction is one of the areas. Discouragement is another. When we kind of just get overwhelmed or underwhelmed with the challenges that we face and we find ourselves discouraged. Another word that fits in these times in which we live is defeated. When we feel like not just overwhelmed, but nothing good is happening, and a lot of our world is really right on this edge of being defeated or living as if there is no hope. People who are disillusioned. What happened? How do we face life when it turns out different than we thought it would? Disillusionment. That's a big thing in terms of facing help being a healthy follower of Jesus. Another word is distant. When we live life at arm's length and we're not good at relationships, and it's not just that we're not good, we don't want anybody to get any closer. And so we live distant from the experience of what's going on around us. And every once in a while, we'll bump into that feeling, oh, I wish life was a little more exciting, or I wish there was a little bit more involvement. But distance is one of those things that the enemy puts in place in our lives that keeps us from living in the moment or being totally engaged in the situation. And the final D, there were six of them, is the word driven. When I'm so busy about doing the things of life that I think is important, that I kind of miss the life that I want to live. When I'm so engaged or purpose-driven, then I miss out on what's going on around me. So when you come to the idea of being a healthy follower of Jesus, God's Word has some pretty specific things to say to you and to me about how to be engaged, how to be active, how to be healthy as individuals and then as a church. As you enter this next chapter, but you've come through a significant chapter, and this whole place of how to be engaged for Jesus' sake and really enjoy the times we're in. So let me invite you I'm going to read Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. And as I read it, just begin to unpack the idea, am I a healthy follower of Jesus? Beginning of verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. That's Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, engage our minds and our hearts. Help us to hear your thoughts and to be able to see your plan of action for how we can step into your word and apply it. So we commit these next moments to you in Jesus' name. Amen. In a few moments, we're going to be enjoying communion, the celebration of the Lord's Supper, and engaging the invitation that Jesus said, every time you do this, you remember me. So that it doesn't just become automatic, but it really engages our hearts. Because you see what I did there? It engages our hearts. Oh, people, you know getting old's a wonderful thing. I provide humor for my good wife. Yeah. The other day, I had the cream and the pepper shaker, and I put the pepper shaker in the fridge and the cream in the cupboard. So I began to think that's a pretty good lesson. If I can just remember now, when I find something out of place, I got to go look to where it should have been, because that's where my keys will be, you know? So as we enjoy the Lord's Supper, we remember him, a thought process, but the love process. So as we come to the Word of God and we're reminded of what it means, or what the challenge in God's Word is to be a healthy follower of Jesus, there are a couple of things that are suggested. I'm going to talk about three, and then we're going to transition into communion. And as we come to communion, I'm going to suggest there are three thoughts, a couple of thoughts that we can just be engaged with as we celebrate the magnificent, amazing, wonderful gift of the Lord Jesus to our lives. And we come to communion in one of those most amazing kingdom activities. So the first thought that comes out of here in chapter 3, verse 12, is that a healthy follower of Jesus knows what the kingdom focus is. The kingdom focus. In the very first phrases here in verse 12, we're reminded that therefore, as God's chosen, holy, and loved people. One of the things that we needed to keep in mind in a world full of distraction and all kinds of other things, and the very desire of the enemy to keep us from the spiritual enemy of our soul, his desire is to keep us from being mindful of what it is that the kingdom is about. The first one is focus. And God's word tells us that you and I, as his followers, are people who are chosen. And that word chosen is the word that reflects the idea of an intentional choice. God has you in mind. And God is aware of the challenges and circumstances and the needs of your life and my life. And yet the word of God says that as we keep the focus of the kingdom in mind, we are to remember that we are his people, chosen, which means intentional, not a mistake, not an accident, not a throwaway, not just wasting time till we die. We're chosen. And in the word that is involved in the word chosen, in terms of the definition in mind, you have this idea that God loves you and me and has intended for our activity in the kingdom. And so we need to keep in mind, in terms of the kingdom focus, the number one thought here is we're chosen. Second part is holy. And the word holy is a word that means set apart. The word that kind of reminds us that there's activity in the kingdom for us to be about. Created in Christ Jesus to do good things. Even before we understood it, Christ died for our sins. That sense of drawing grace that brings us to a place of being offered the gift of salvation, and then the privilege of understanding what it means to surrender our lives to Jesus. And in those moments of commitment to the Lord, offering him who we are. Next week, Lord willing, we're going to talk about that. Present yourself as a living sacrifice. And we could go that way today, but we'll stay here. And the idea of being set apart, this word that reminds us that he has a purpose and plan for our lives, things that Christ Jesus designed for you and me to be about, this place of activity. Remember a number of years ago, through evangelism, explosion, and the kinds of activities. Remember the four spiritual laws? And the one spiritual law was that God has a wonderful plan for your life. And it's true. We're chosen people, intentional focus of the Father. We're set apart. We're holy, set apart for kingdom activity. And the focus of the kingdom is to keep this in mind. And the third thing that's said here in the beginning of this verse, that we're dearly loved. And the concept of being dearly loved is we were bought with a price. Recently in my devotions, I was going through the place of what it meant, or what it means for Christ to be the sacrifice for our sins. I was reading through Leviticus and the sin sacrifice and the sacrifice, the blood sacrifice that was needed for the activity or the sinful activities of a people and a nation. And I was just humbled in the presence of the Lord to know that in Jesus, it's all taken care of. Everything about you and me and the needs of all of us in Jesus, in his sacrifice on the cross for your sin and my sin, it's all done. We're dearly loved. We're bought with a price. And because we are loved so amazingly and intentionally, this wonderful awareness of what it means in the kingdom to be focused, not distracted, not disillusioned, not driven in other directions, but focused on what it means to follow Jesus. And so these few words at the beginning of verse 12 give us the sense of kingdom focus. Other words that are used across the church is a vision, a mission statement. But in scripture here, the idea is the kingdom focus is what God has done in terms of on our behalf as he works deeply and significantly in our lives. Now, the amazing thing about this is because we have an understanding of what it means to be focused, in terms of who God is and what he's about on our behalf, That then influences, it informs the next step. Because the second step, after being focused, the second step is kingdom values. There are five kingdom values here. In fact, if you want to put it in a different phrase, they're kingdom work clothes. It's kind of like putting on your colored vest as you step out to take a role in the workplace. A lot of people wear those things today, and you kind of see them all over the place. But did you see the word here in verse 12? After your chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves. Put on your work clothes for the sake of the kingdom. So the five kingdom values that we are to apply in order to be effective followers of Jesus, healthy followers of Jesus, the five things are here that follow. One is, you're to put on compassion. That's a big word. Compassion. That is a word that talks about having not just an awareness of the needs of others, but the word compassion, when you break it down, is a word that says, I see a need in front of me, and I'm so overwhelmed that I move to step forward to do something. Compassion is a word that engages the ought to in our lives with a step forward. The first kingdom work clothes that we're to put on is compassion. That sense of understanding that we do not live in isolation in our world. Boy, in the last couple of weeks with the issues in Ukraine and in Europe, there are a lot of people that have stepped forward in compassion because they're motivated to respond, to try to do something. The second item of spiritual clothing is kindness. And kindness is a word, as we step forward, it's the word that drives our actions. It allows us to engage with a sense of authenticity. We mean it when we hold somebody who's crying and we say, your need moves me. You ever been in those situations where you can't really even speak? All you can do is just hold someone and cry. The sense of kindness that motivates us to be active with intention in somebody's life. The third word here in terms of these five kingdom values or five items of kingdom work clothing to put on, the third word is humility. Now, humility is not an attractive word in our culture because humility is a word that talks about the surrender of some of our own desires and thoughts. I've noted that over the last year or two in COVID. There's a great deal of rebellion and rights that we're demanding but the kingdom activity is the word humility, which means that I am willing to let go of what I may debate on my behalf in order to allow Jesus to accomplish in me his agenda. And one of the significant kingdom work clothes is a place of humility. Remember, we only get to this place because our kingdom focus in terms of we are chosen, we are holy, we're set apart in terms of that, and we're loved. That informs the kingdom clothing that we put on. And the third item of clothing here is humility. The fourth one is gentleness. And gentleness is one of those words that is fairly self-described, but it is engaging with a sense of tenderness to the hurts and needs of a wider community. And if we're able to surrender in terms of being humble before the Lord, then we can enter into challenging situations more easily because it's Jesus in us that flows out of us, that enters in and engages people in situations that are a challenge in our natural abilities to handle. That's why when we walk in the Spirit in terms of with Him, it's amazing what we can walk into and engage for Jesus' sake, to be his hands, his arms, you know, and his love as we engage people. Now, the fifth item is the item patience. And that's a significant thing because we are not wired as people individually to be patient on our own. In fact, patience is learned as we walk with the Spirit. And when the Lord says, relax, I've got this, wait, then we have to do the spiritual exercise of just waiting for the moment for the Lord to say, it's now time to go. Again, in my devotions recently, I've been reading about the Exodus. In fact, I'm just in the first part of the book Deuteronomy, and Moses is just about to exit because the Lord says, commission Joshua and get ready for the nation to move ahead, but you stop. And as the Lord tells Moses what to share with the nation, this idea of, when I tell you to move, go. But until then, relax. So, the five kingdom values, growth areas in our own lives, these are putting on clothes. They mean that every day in our spiritual experience, we have to say, Lord, I want these work clothes on so that I can walk step by step with you through the minefield that you have me in. And some days it feels like that. Some days we bump into people we hadn't intended on seeing, but their hearts are broken or their worlds are broken, and we are engaged in something we hadn't really thought about, but the Lord's asking us to participate in this interruption in life. I've always been surprised that when a person says yes to Jesus and they're willing to walk with him, I've always been surprised at how many interruptions can come in the day in terms of the Lord's agenda, and sometimes my stuff doesn't really ever get to today. It'll be there for tomorrow, won't it? But when the Lord is Lord of our lives, he has the right to interrupt our lives, his children, with needs that only you are uniquely equipped to respond to, even though sometimes they'll say, oh, I don't want to do this today. You look at the number on the phone and you wonder, should I answer or not? And yet the Lord, when we surrender our lives to him and we invite him to take control, he's going to ask if you're really willing to be used in ways that he sees fit, not necessarily that you see fit. Because remember, you're chosen and you're holy. You're set apart for certain things in terms of that he's prepared in advance for you to do. Isn't that what it said, what Paul says in another place here in the epistles? Things set apart for you to do, designed uniquely for your gift mix and your anointing for the next steps. So the focus, kingdom focus, informs then the kingdom clothing we need to put on in terms of the five values that follow in these verses. That informs step number three that comes in the verse following this, and this deals with kingdom actions, three kingdom actions. So we've gone from the kingdom focus, which is God's place in our life as chosen, holy, and dearly loved, into five kingdom clothes to put on in terms of work clothes for what needs to be done ahead. And now that we got the clothes on and we understand why we need those, then there are three specific activities as followers of Jesus, healthy believers, healthy followers of Jesus need to apply in their lives. There's only three, but they're biggies. So God's word reminds us here that we are to forgive one another. We're to bear with one another, forgive one another, and we're to put on love. So the idea of bearing with one another is one of those biggies that is a challenge. because what we discover is as we live with one another, there are things that those that you and I do in and around each other that will drive us nuts. We're not just the best and easiest people to get along with all the time. Although I may not think, you'll have a problem if you don't get along with me. You know, it's you. So you see, the challenge in terms of the kingdom is, we know there's a focus. We know that we are given spiritual clothes to wear because life gets messy and we need these five clothing items, spiritual clothing items, in order to handle the next three things. And the first one is to bear with one another. Well, how in the world do I get along with so-and-so when they are so difficult? It isn't that they're difficult. I think they have a problem. You know, and we let those little grievances, but God's word says, bear with one another. And the spiritual concept here in the middle of bearing is, with God's help and the kingdom focus that we're in the middle of, with God's help, I am able to discover a way not just to get along with the people that God's put me in elbow with in, but to figure out a way to thrive and to enjoy and to see the blessing of the kingdom happen in the middle of the lives that I'm with. Now, sometimes in the church, it's maybe a little bit easier than in our community or our workplace, neighborhoods. Sometimes we're bumping into people that we're not just sure what we're going to do with. But the challenge here in terms of the word bear with one another is to remember this idea of forgiveness. And the interesting thing is, tucked right in the middle of this idea of forgiveness is, remember how much the Lord has forgiven you. Remember how much. It isn't just, how am I going to forgive so-and-so over here? The beginning place is here. And when my beginning place is in submission to and in the amazing presence of the Lord, the idea of forgiveness takes on a refreshing light, an encouraging place in your life and my life, because all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us understand what it is to be wrecked and not whole in and of ourselves. So understand that the first kingdom activity here is the idea of bearing one another. And it deals with the issue of forgiveness. Now the focus of bearing one with one another begins in my heart as a place to begin before it engages others, because the next step is forgiving. So the first part deals with what's going on in me. The second part of this is, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And this is that idea of what it is that we have been forgiven. I can deal much, much easier, much more easily with forgiving someone else when I'm reminded of what's been going on in my life, how much the Lord has forgiven me. Pastor Tim Bussey has made this statement: your ability to forgive others is a litmus test for how much you grasp and live out the forgiveness of Jesus in your own life. Your ability to forgive others is a test. It depends on how you perceive this forgiveness in order to impact this forgiveness. Wow. So the second kingdom action, the second kingdom activity, bear with or bear up. The second is forgive. And the third word is put on love. Put on love. And this idea is, and it says, and love is the binding factor. It's what kind of brings it all, holds it into place. God's love. God's love this way impacts this way. And when we apply it that way, so it's an amazing thing. So you put on love. It's an intentional decision for activity. I understand my focus is kingdom oriented. I understand that he equips me with work clothes. And the things that I'm to be about then, in terms of bearing with community, bearing with the needs of my world, bearing with the challenge of what it means, deals with my understanding of my forgiveness, how I relate with others, and then putting on love, which kind of holds it all together. Which is this amazing challenge given to us as believers and the church. In the midst of a broken world, where the design of our spiritual enemy is to tear apart, God's focus through the kingdom is to hold together, is to build up, is to strengthen, is to encourage. That's why sometimes the challenge of what we're facing in terms of doing kingdom work as a body of believers, sometimes it just seems so hard. That's because the natural tendency of a broken world and our enemy is to tear things apart, is to break it. But in God's word, we're told to bear up and to put on love, which binds together. And as we're reminded of that, it's an amazing activity in the kingdom to be part of something that's cohesive. That's why Scripture invites unity and a body of believers to work together, because the focus of the kingdom is amazing. So let me just suggest three things as we come to communion here in a few minutes. As we approach communion, as healthy followers of Jesus, be thankful that he gives us a spiritual focus. We're chosen. We're given responsibilities in terms of we're holy and set apart. And we're dearly, dearly loved. The very thing that communion does, isn't it? Remember me, Jesus said. We're dearly loved. We're bought with a price. So as you come to communion, revel in that. Secondly, come to communion grateful for the idea that our dear Lord has a purpose and a mission for all of us as followers of Jesus, healthy followers. We're to put on work clothes and get ready. And you're entering a new phase here in the next couple of weeks, a new chapter. And get dressed, get ready, and do up your seatbelt. Because we're moving ahead. Because that's the design, the challenge, the gift of the blessing of the Lord. And then thirdly, as you come to communion, be grateful for the idea that there are specific things that the body of Christ needs to be about. Let's not be distracted with kinds of all other kinds of things. But let's just be grateful that Christ calls us to a purpose and a direction and invites us to follow him. God bless you as you enjoy this day and as you move into the next chapters. We'll continue focus for next week, but let's enjoy communion together.